Well, good morning. Good morning, Evangel Church. Great to see you. It's a beautiful day, and it's great to be together. Would you stand with us? We're going to worship the Lord today. The Bible says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So let's pray praise together. And, you know, we are the people of God in the presence of God, declaring the praises of our King. Amen. Come on, let's worship him. Put your hands together. Come on. And come, all you weary, come, all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry, and drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come, all you sinners, come. And come, all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. A taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved, for God so loved, the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, come on. And bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross, cause Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him, for the wonders of his love. Every voice, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. So love, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, for God so loved the world. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Come on, lift it up. Bless your name, King Jesus. And praise God, praise God, from
whom all blessings flow.
Come on, lift it up this morning. Praise him, praise
him,
for the one. Oh, praise, praise God, praise God, from whom
all blessings flow.
Oh, yeah. Praise him, praise him, for the wonders of. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him, for the. For God so loved the world that he gave us, he's one. For God so loved the world that he gave us, he's one
and only Son
to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Bless your name, King Jesus. Bless your name. We praise your name. Yeah, we lift your name. Lift it up. Your strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait
upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will
wait
upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Come on, sing it like you mean it this morning. Strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait
upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
We
will
wait upon the Lord. Yeah.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Hey, you are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Come on, let's sing. Faith will rise. Faith will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait.
Come on, faith will rise. Faith will rise as we wait upon the
Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Oh, faith will rise. Faith will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Faith will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Everlasting God, the everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles. Our God, sing together. Our God, you reign forever.
strong deliverer, our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like heroes. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need.
Yes, you do, Lord.
You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Yes, you do.
Amen. Amen. So exciting to be here. Why don't you greet somebody and say, I'm really happy I didn't wake up in a tent this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to all of you who gathered here in our building this morning to worship and be together. Welcome to those of you who are joining us via the live stream today. We're glad you're here too. We've come to worship and experience the presence to that this morning, so we're glad you're here. If this is the first time that you've been at Evangel, we want to welcome you today to our service. We're glad that you're here, and we want to be able to come alongside you and serve you and assist you in any way that we can, and we've discovered the best way to know that you're there and that you may need some support or connection would be to ask you to fill out our connection card, which you'll find in the chair pocket right in front of you. You can fill that out, and you can take it to the information desk in the foyer after the service. Someone will be there to take that from you. There's a small gift there for you. And if you want a pastor to follow up and make connection, please indicate that on the card, and we'll be prompt to do that. We're glad that you're here this morning. I just have one announcement, really, and that is just to remind you that Open Hands Global, which we support here at Evangel, a ministry that we support that is cares for children in Pakistan. They are hosting a garage sale on Saturday, June the 10th, on our parking lot here. And if you have items that you would like to donate to that garage sale, you can bring them in here with you. You can bring them on a Sunday, and they are, you'll notice in the foyer, the pile has already been started, and you can add to that pile over the next few Sundays. And also the day prior to the garage sale on the 9th, they will be here, Esther and her team, all day setting up and organizing, and you can come by and drop off your things on that day as well. So if you have some stuff, make sure you dig it out and help find its way here. I'm going to invite our ushers to come and prepare to receive our morning tithes and offerings, and you can give in the plate, but if you want to give electronically, you can send your e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. Kids, if you have children, newborn up to age 3, we have a nursery available all through the service. You just go through these doors down the stairs, and it's right at the bottom of the stairs. You can leave your child there. And if you have children age 4 up to grade 5, they are free to go at this time. They can go around the side here, up here. They'll meet their volunteers, and they'll head down for a while this morning. So God bless you as you give, and I'm just going to hand it back to Jono and the team this morning. God bless you guys.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
Let's lift this up. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light into the dark. And you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Yeah. Great are you. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. Sing it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath. Yes, yes, yes. So we pour out our praise to you only. Yeah.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are.
Great are you, Lord.
Come on, let's sing. With one voice, we sing. And all the earth will shout your praise. And our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, we'll sing, great, yeah, are you.
Come on, lift it up. Oh.
And all the earth will shout your praise.
And our hearts will cry. These bones will say,
great are you, Lord.
One more time. All the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
These bones will say,
oh, great. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You are
great. Great are you, Lord.
Sing great, great,
great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Why don't you just with your own voice this morning, bring your adoration to Him. We bring worship to your name. Go ahead, lift your voice to Him this morning. Sing melodies, harmonies to the Lord. We love you, Lord. We adore your name, King of glory. Yeah. We love your presence, Lord. Oh, yeah. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Would you just go ahead and lift up your voice to Him this morning? Lift up your adoration to the King, the one who is ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father. Go ahead, lift your voice to Him this morning. Lord, we honor you, we worship you. We don't just bring words this morning. We bring adoration. Our hearts are fixed on you, the ascended one, King Jesus. Jesus. King Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and doubt, and over fear and all anxiety, every soul, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Let's sing that again. I just want to speak the name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety.
Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Hey, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Come on, let's declare that here.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. And Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
It's your name.
Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
It's your name, your name, your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through, burn like a fire.
I encourage you this morning, if there's any need that you have, any challenge that you're facing this morning, to lift it up to Jesus. If you've got sickness, if you've got fear or any anxiety, lift it up to the name of Jesus this morning. His name is power, His name is healing. His name is life. Let's sing it again. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing.
Your name is life.
Speak to that need. Speak to that sickness.
You'll break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn.
One more time. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing.
Your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Shine through the darkness. Burn like a fire.
Burn like. More of you. More of you. More of your presence. More of you. More of you. This might be a new song for some of you here today, and it's called Spirit Breakout, and that's our prayer, that the Holy Spirit will break in and will break out. So when you're ready, just jump in with us. Spirit Breakout.
And our Father, and all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven, our Father. And our Father. And all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt in praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. break our walls down. Yeah. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to King Jesus sing. And King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom. Yeah. We want to spirit break out. Spirit break out. Break our walls down, Lord. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Sing spirit break out. Spirit break out. Break our walls down, Lord. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. Mm-hmm. King Jesus. King Jesus, you're the name we lift in high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We
come on, let's make this a prayer. King Jesus,
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom.
Spirit break out.
Spirit break out. Break our walls down.
Break.
Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
One more time. Spirit, break out. Pray it over yourself.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Heaven, come down.
Heaven, come down.
So we pray, Lord, let your spirit break out in us. Fill us up this morning. Send us out. We pray for every home in this neighborhood, every street, every family. Let your spirit break out. We pray for the presence and power of Jesus to touch every life. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 17 to 20. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. What a beautiful sense of God's presence and power in this place as we've gathered here this morning. In my first year of Bible college, 100 years ago, there was a course entitled Personal Evangelism. And the whole course was designed around how to share your faith, and this is the textbook actually on the screen, how to share your faith with and witness to strangers. And as part of the course requirement, each student had to submit two witnessing reports, recounting the details of sharing one's faith with a stranger. The first one was due on a Monday morning, and it was the Sunday before, and I was really stressed. Walking up to a stranger and sharing Jesus was out of my comfort zone. So I procrastinated. But I was running out of time. So I decided to head over to the local donut shop to find a Target so I could witness and then head back to my room and write up the report in time for my class on Monday morning. I can still see the moment I opened the door of the donut shop and I began to scan the room, seeking out my desired target. The donut shop had fixed stools along a counter, and people could sit up there and, you know, have their coffee and eat their donut. And as I scanned the room, there he was. There he was, looking depressed. Perfect. Perfect target. Alone, depressed, at the counter. So I walked over and I sat next to him on the stool and I initiated conversation with some small talk. It was really the Bible college version of going to a bar, I suppose, like from on TV and stuff, from what we see. Fearing that he would leave, I quickly followed the steps outlined in the book and told him he needed to repent and accept Jesus. Now, while he did indulge me in some conversation, he really wasn't interested in my pitch. In fact, it seemed like there was something much more significant that was weighing on him in that moment. But of course, I didn't take the time to probe that because, well, the assignment didn't require that in the syllabus. So I didn't take the time to probe that. And so once I completed my attempt, I had what I needed. And I headed back and wrote my report. I've reflected back on that moment many times in my life with great regret. Everything. And I know you notice that you're thinking, you are an awful human being. You are a terrible person. And it's true. As I reflected back on that moment, I had so much regret. Everything about that experience was questionable. And yet, somehow acceptable within church culture at the time. At that time, sharing, you know, Jesus was refined to walking up to a total stranger sharing a well-prepared apologetic speech, sometimes accompanied by a track or a diagram, with the greatest success being that we felt good that we at least tried. And there were so many books and manuals that were available to us reinforcing these ideas. Statistically, most people who decide to follow Jesus are brought to Jesus by someone they have relationship with, not a random encounter with a stranger. Yes, it can happen, and yes, it does happen, but statistically, the number of times that happens is very small. Overwhelmingly, people who come to Jesus are brought by someone they have relationship with. Now, our current sermon series is entitled The People in Your Neighborhood, and we have been addressing two questions that we find in the story of the Good Samaritan, which was week one. Who is my neighbor, and what type of neighbor should I be? And so throughout this series, we're exploring the neighbors that we're introduced to through the ministry of Jesus, so that we can answer these two questions in our own lives. So today we're going to consider Luke 5. And as we do that, we will be reminded today that being the neighbor Jesus wants us to be will require coming alongside those who need help finding their way to Him. So let's walk through our scripture today. We'll begin again with the context. Jesus was teaching inside a house. It's early in his ministry, and he's already garnering significant attention, and therefore the house is packed. Not only were the locals gathered, but we're told that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law have also gathered. And not only have the local, you know, Pharisees and teachers of the law gathered, but they've come from Galilee, they've come from Judea. In fact, they've come all the way from Jerusalem. I mean, basically, a contingent from head office was sent to the house, and the house is packed. This is the first time that the Pharisees are introduced in the Gospel of Luke, and Pharisees historically helped the Jews maintain the purity of their religion by teaching people how to apply the teachings of Moses to their everyday life. So here's the teaching of Moses. We'll teach you how to do that. And over time, we know they became very rigid, very imbalanced, very legalistic, hypocritical, and judgmental. And so they were present. They were present to observe. They were present to critique. They were present to determine if Jesus was legitimate. They were present to anticipate that he might break some of the rules. Jesus' teaching was more than sharing of information, and it was a combination of words and power. He was mighty in both word and deed. And so we observe within Jesus' teaching environments like this one that significant miracles took place. The neighbor in our scripture that we're being introduced to today was a paralytic. Added to his physical need was the stigma, the marginalization that was imposed upon him from his culture because of his physical condition. In the teaching of many of these spiritual leaders and Pharisees, holiness equaled wholeness. Holiness equaled wholeness. If someone had a disability or a disease, they were not whole. And therefore, they were physically unclean. The sick did not belong in the realm of the healthy. And so there was a belief that, in addition to that, there was a belief that sickness was the result of sin. That sin in the person's life or the person's family resulted in God's punishment in the form of illness or disability. The result of that was exclusion from the normal affairs of society, rejection, judgment, poverty. The uniqueness of this encounter was that the man needed the assistance of others if he was going to be successful in seeing his life miraculously changed by Jesus. But he can't get there on his own. He needs others to assist him. He needs someone to take him there. And we're told some men were compassionate towards the paralytic, that they ignored the social stigmas and they carried him to the house where Jesus was teaching, hoping for a miracle for this man. Now we're told that the power of the Lord was present for him, for Jesus, to heal the sick. And to understand what this means, the power of the Lord is terminology or language for the Holy Spirit. And so we're told that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord, is present during Jesus' teaching in this house. And as a result, healing was possible. And so Luke is telling us that. And this is a very significant statement for Luke to tell us, because as we read the story, it really does instill hope in us that this encounter is going to end well, right? Because, I mean, this is perfect. There's a man who needs healing, and there's Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit is present, making healing possible. And so, you know, it instills hope. Everything seemed perfect for the fulfillment of this life-changing miracle to take place. But there's an obstacle, or obstacles. Despite the anticipation of a miracle, the story quickly changed with two significant hindrances or obstacles. The first is the crowd, of course. When the man arrived carrying the paralytic on his mat, they found that the house was packed. They couldn't get in. The house was filled with people wanting to receive a miracle, people wanting to see a miracle, people wanting to critique Jesus and his ministry, and the house was full. And so it became evident quickly that getting through the crowd was going to be impossible. No one was going to make room for this man to gain access ahead of them. But the men who brought him were determined, and they were creative, and they were filled with faith. Houses in biblical times use the roof space as additional living space, and it was common to have stairs leading up to the roof from outside of the house. And so the men took the paralytic up the stairs to the rooftop. Now, roofs at that time were made of thatch that were covered in clay, and the men quickly removed a section of the roof and they lowered the man down into the house in front of Jesus. Now, Jesus was impressed and saw this move as evidence of their faith. And I want us to note that Jesus often, in encountering people who he was about to perform a miracle with, he often would acknowledge their faith and say, you know, you have great faith, or because of your faith. But we notice here that Jesus acknowledged the faith of those who brought him. He didn't acknowledge the man's faith. He acknowledged the men who brought him and lowered him, because they believed so strongly that Jesus could make a difference in this man's life that they did whatever they needed to get him there. It appears that the obstacle has been overcome, of course, until the second obstacle is presented, which is the religious leaders. Jesus' response to the paralytic was not what the men who brought him were expecting. Instead of healing the man, Jesus looked at the man and he just said, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, why would Jesus say that? Well, I believe, first of all, possibly that prior to healing the man, I believe Jesus wanted to deal with the thinking and, regarding sin and sickness. He wanted to address that. And if there were people present who linked sin and sickness together, Jesus was showing them that this is not a problem. I have authority over both. Not a problem. I believe, secondly, he's elevating the primary purpose of his mission, which is restoration and release and redemption spiritually of people. And thirdly, I believe he's sending a message to the Pharisees. Jesus can be annoying at times. Can you believe I just said that from the pulpit? Right? I mean, sometimes I wonder if I'm pretty sure he did it on purpose. I believe he's sending a message to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, about his godly authority. They didn't speak when he said that, but we're told that they were thinking to themselves that, I can't believe he said that. Like, that is blasphemy. Because the truth is, only God can forgive sins. How dare he push the limit, cross the line, and make that kind of statement? Jesus addressed what they were thinking, and he asked, which is greater to say? Your sins are forgiven or you're healed? Which is greater? Well, in reality, both of them are easy to say. I just said them. And both of them technically were impossible to do. But the truth be told, it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven. Really? Because, I mean, if I said to you, your sins are forgiven, well, there's no evidence to prove or disprove that your sins were forgiven. Like, you can't see it. But if you say, rise up and walk, unless the person rises up and walks, well, there's no tangible evidence that a miracle happened. And so the purpose of this moment was to show that Jesus had the authority on earth to not only heal, but he could forgive sins. And then we get to the resolution in the story. When all seemed to be falling apart, I mean, in the middle of all this, there's a man there lying on his mat. Like, you got to see the picture, right? Just lying on the floor on his mat. And all of a sudden, everything seems to be falling apart. Like, this is not going well. This started out really well and exciting. And, someone descended from the ceiling. I mean, this was like being at a Pink concert. Like, really, someone's coming from the roof. Things are, you know, happening. And all of a sudden, he's just lying there while this theological debate unfolds. Seems like he's been forgotten. But in that moment, when it seemed like it had all gone aside, Jesus turned to him and said, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man stood up immediately, and he took his mat, and he went home, praising God for the miracle that had happened in his life. Now, I believe that Jesus asked him to carry his mat to make a point. The mat was symbolic of his frailty. The mat was a symbol of his brokenness, of his hopelessness, of his marginalization from society as a whole was symbolized in this mat. What previously carried the man is now being carried by the man. And watching the man walk away with the mat under his arm was a testimony to all those who were present that the man was physically and spiritually healed. Luke tells us that the people that gathered in the house that day were amazed. Why? Because he said remarkable things were done today. Remarkable things were done today. Things contrary to expectation, things contrary to possibility happened in this house today. And I want you to note that the last word of the passage, if we were to read all of it, and some of you may be following along, the last word is the word today. And again, I don't think that's there by accident. I think Luke is connecting what's happening in Luke 5 to what just happened in Luke 4, where Jesus had just read Isaiah's passage regarding the coming of the Messiah. That wasn't unusual. That was often read in the synagogue service. But when he sat down, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, today. You have been reading this for hundreds of years. You have been passing this from generation to generation, but today this is fulfilled in your sight. Today this prophecy is fulfilled before your very eyes. The Messiah has come. The word today links that promise when Jesus said, I have come. And what that meant in the reading of Isaiah to what the Messiah would bring. And the reality of that was happening right in front of their eyes. He was bringing it. He didn't overpromise and then underdeliver. He did exactly what he said he would do. Now, as we consider this scripture briefly this morning, there are three brief areas that I would like to focus on as we reflect. The first is creativity. The men who set out to bring the paralyzed man to Jesus fully expected their plan, was to carry him through the front door of the house and present him to Jesus in hopes of a life-changing miracle. Now, as we read, the house is crowded. So all of a sudden, the plan's impossible. But without hesitation, the men found an alternate creative solution, lowering him through the roof. Now, I'm sure many of those who were present, I mean, imagine being the homeowner, like, what? Like, I just had that done. I just had my roof fixed. I mean, people are watching this and they're, you know, this is, are disturbed, some of them. Some of them are like some of you who I know really, really well and have been married to for a very long time, that when you pick your space and someone comes and stands in front of you, that's just totally unacceptable. No, I was here. This is my space. And all of a sudden, he's lowered in front of them. Hey, he cut the line. I've been here since early this morning. You just blow in, like drop in, and there you are. I'm sure many were disturbed. But that did not deter the men because they knew that the man needed a miracle that only Jesus could provide. Folks, since the birth of the New Testament church, the central gospel message is unchanged. It's unchanged. The message, and we sung about it to start the service, that God loves the world. That Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. The message that Jesus died, the message that Jesus rose again, the message that Jesus ascended into heaven with the promise that someday he will return. The promise that the Holy Spirit has been outpoured on all followers of Jesus and are empowered to continue the ministry of Jesus to a broken world. That's the gospel, and it is unchanged. The message is unchanged, but our methods are constantly changing. Our methods adapt, our methods change, our methods evolve, so we can communicate the never-changing message of Jesus in a relevant way to every generation and every culture. Now, sometimes problems arise in the church as people desire to protect the methods, the way we have traditionally done things, instead of focusing on why we did things the way we did in the first place, which was to present the never-changing message of Jesus in a relevant way. Like the men of Issachar in the Old Testament, we desire to know our times and know what we ought to do. The church is most fruitful and the church is most faithful when it finds creative ways to present the gospel, the never-changing message of Jesus in creative ways. Programs will come and go. Some of you remember programs from before. Some of you remember how hard it was for you to come to grips with the fact that it wasn't going to continue. Maybe there were lots of visits to the pastor's office lamenting how this is not what God wants. I've been doing this a long time. Right? Because you wanted it, you believed in it, and it meant something to you, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that, but programs come and go. Events come and go. Ways of doing things come and go. But the message of Jesus remains unchanged. And the desire of every generation should be to find a way to share that message, that never-changing message, in a fresh and creative way. Secondly, relationship. relationship, as we know, is central to being a follower of Jesus. When we come to him, we enter into a relationship with him. And being in relationship with Jesus means that we are, means being in relationship with others who are also in relationship with Jesus. A community of faith, a church community, that's who we are here. What brings us together in relationship with one another is because we have relationship with Jesus. Believers are rooted in a deep spiritual relationship with Jesus, and we are rooted, if we're to be biblical, in a deep-rooted relationship with one another. Being in relationship with Jesus also means being in relationship with others who are not followers of Jesus. Now, I know there's been debates through the years, and I've heard, you know, famous preachers write books and sermons that you shouldn't have friends who are non-believers. Anyway, yeah. Being in relationship with Jesus also means being in relationship with others who are not followers of Jesus, desiring that they too would come into relationship with Jesus. Most people, as I said, who become followers of Jesus come via the relationship, their relationship with a follower of Jesus. So therefore, if that's true, if that's how most people come to Jesus, then building sincere relationships with those who are not followers of Jesus is important. Now, you'll notice I use the word sincere. And I use that for a reason, because I think sometimes people who are not followers of Jesus are seen as projects or targets. And it's not sincere. The agenda that we have may seem good to us, that we want them to know Jesus, but it's a process we're going through, and we're building relationship to get to that end rather than building relationship to actually care and come alongside of and love that person. There are opportunities that the local church can provide to help us come alongside others in relationship to assist and demonstrate the love of God to them. Some examples of some things we do here, just a couple quick ones, would be Neighbor Care Network out of Kerr Street Mission. Someone comes into Kerr Street Mission and there's a lot of challenges in their lives. Perhaps they don't have a place to live, or they're about to become evicted, or they have bills, you know, their hydro and their gas, and all these bills are mounting up and it's overwhelming, and they just need help. And the goal of Neighbor Care Network is not a handout where we say, here, let me pay all your bills, and then so that 2 months from now you can be right back in the same situation. It's no, we have people who are going to be assigned to you that will walk with you, that will build relationship with you, that will help connect you to the different resources that are available out there and help you navigate this in every way, in ways that you wouldn't know even existed, to ultimately help you get to the place where you need to go, all because we love you and we love Jesus and we want you to know that Jesus loves you too. It may be the Kerr Street Mission breakfast, or it may be the hot dog lunch, which is more than just serving food. It's bigger than serving food. If it's just serving food, then yes, you know, then we're doing a good thing, but it's more than that. It's about building connections. It's about hearing people who are not usually heard. It's about seeing people who are often not seen or who don't feel seen. It's about praying for them and connecting with them. And so there are times when the church can connect you to something that can help you live this out, but most relational opportunities will happen outside of church ministries. Because most of the things that are relational, we can't orchestrate, plan, and program for you. They're going to happen outside of here, within your own literal neighborhoods, with your own literal neighbors, or with your coworkers, or with fellow students wherever you're studying, or the activities and hobbies that you're involved in. Wherever we find ourselves, we can build relationships with others and be a part of their lives. Sharing Jesus cannot be limited to a prepared speech with an ask at the end. It involves walking with someone, loving them, caring about them, caring for them, allowing them to see Jesus in you, and then wanting that ultimately for themselves. Relationship is key to bringing people to Jesus. And finally, stigma. The part of the men's faith in our scripture that I personally admire the most is not their creativity. I love creativity, but that's not what I admire most about these men. It's not them being creative and lowering him through the roof, although that was pretty good. It was them engaging with and caring for the paralyzed man, despite what others believed about that man, despite how others valued or didn't value that man, regardless of how others treated that man. That's what I admire the most. Being the neighbor Jesus wants us to be will sometimes mean engaging with those that other spiritual people deem to be inappropriate for us to engage with. In the early 90s, I was a youth pastor in St. John's, Newfoundland. I somehow found myself involved with the Newfoundland and Labrador AIDS Association Society. Some of you have heard me talk about this. I didn't seek them out. They sought me out. One day, I got a call that there was a young man who had grown up in a Pentecostal church, that's why they were calling a Pentecostal pastor, that was dying of AIDS and wanted to connect with a pastor. And for some reason, I don't know how, they called me. Now, you need to understand that there was a lot of fear and a lot of judgment associated with AIDS at that time. I mean, you really had to be there to really appreciate it. AIDS was modern-day leprosy. It was modern-day leprosy. Most people died a horrible death from it. And most people did not even want to come in the same space as a person with AIDS. It was just the way it was. And on top of that, right-wing conservative Christian leaders who were really gaining some momentum at that time were declaring in any opportunity that they had that AIDS was God's punishment for homosexuality. And many churches and Christians were adopting this view. You're getting what you deserve. God is punishing the homosexuals with AIDS. In fact, even Billy Graham, in his crusade in 1993 in Cleveland, Ohio, in front of a crowd of over 44,000 people, asked this question to that crowd. Is AIDS a judgment of God? I could not say for sure, but I think so. Within 2 weeks after being asked about his statement, he issued an official statement. He said, I remember saying it, and I immediately regretted it. I don't believe that, and I don't know why I said it. I'm sharing that with you not to criticize Billy Graham, but to actually honor him, because we could use a lot more high-profile, quote-unquote, spiritual leaders who have the humility to recognize when they've done something wrong. Over the course of a few years, I had the privilege of building relationships with many men who had grown up in a Pentecostal church who didn't feel safe to come out because they knew if they did, they would be rejected by their families, they'd be rejected by their church, and they came, many of them from small communities, and they knew that the whole community would reject them. So instead, they would leave their smaller communities and move to the big city and get lost in the crowd, and eventually contracting AIDS. Without fail, all of the ones who reached out to me wanted to reconcile with their families and God before they died. Interestingly, when I say families, it was mostly their moms. I think moms are often easier to offer grace than dads sometimes. But they wanted to reconcile with their families and God before they died. And I want to tell you, as I look back over my years of ministry, and there's been a few of them, I am forever grateful that God gave me the opportunity. And I see this as one of the highlights of my life, to be the one that helped mediate that for them. Connecting this young boy, this young man, to his mom and his family. The end of his life. But I want you to know that it didn't come without criticism. It didn't. Some in the church thought my ministry would be better served if I focused on things inside the church. After all, they were the ones who were paying my salary. It's funny, churches that way. They think that we actually work for them, Jono, when we actually work for God. But thank you for paying the salary. That really does go a long way, gotta say. That I should focus on things inside the church instead of being at like memorials and stuff. Events to support these people. Their words, not mine. Events where I would stand in a podium like I am today and say to a packed crowd, if you ever need someone to talk to, if you ever need someone to pray with you, without judgment, I'm available anytime, day or night. And the association has my phone number. And sincerely, I'm here if you need me. Folks, that message was a far cry from God is punishing you for your sin. Jesus was criticized and known for eating with sinners and tax collectors. And as a follower of Jesus in those days, desiring to follow his model of ministry, I was criticized and known for sharing pizza in the hospital room of a dying AIDS patient. And not in an admirable way. In a baffling, head-scratching way. Building relationship with those who have been marginalized will most often not invoke praise and support from some within the community of faith. And I know that firsthand, not just from that experience. That is still a present experience for me. I still receive criticism and rejection. Maybe even right after the service, for my desire to engage people who've been marginalized, for fighting for them to be seen, and fighting for them to be heard, and fighting for them to be valued and loved like Jesus loves them. But like Jesus, that shouldn't stop us from doing it just because some are opposed. The men in our scripture did it. And the paralyzed man was forever changed because of it. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. Folks, we've gathered here today in this house, in this room, as a community of spirit-empowered believers whose purpose in this life is to carry on the ministry of Jesus. And as we've gathered to worship today, to hear a sermon today, to be together today, I want you to know that I believe that the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is here in this place today. Do you know that, like, in the church calendar, long weekends are kind of like throwaway Sundays usually, right? It's kind of like, well, a lot of people are going to be away. People who normally lead aren't going to be there. Let's just kind of maybe bring a guest in. Let's just get through our, you know, just get through it, and then we'll get on to, like, you know, get back to the good stuff next week. But this is not a throwaway Sunday. The Spirit of God is here today, just as he was in Luke 5. That's what we believe as Pentecostals. We believe that the same Spirit that we see at work in the book of Acts in the early church is still at work in the church today. We believe that. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is here, and the presence of God is moving and to save those who need saving and to heal those who need healing and to set those free who need to be free and to encourage us and to strengthen us and to bring hope for us and to bring change for us and to remind us that he's with us right in the middle of it, as hard and as painful as it might be. So our question is, do we desire to experience that like those in our scripture today? Crowding in to get close so we can experience Jesus. Did you come with any level of expectation today? Are we willing to help others, our neighbors, find their way to Jesus? Those who would not come without help. They won't get here on their own. Are we here today to say, Jesus, I want to be someone. I want to be a neighbor who builds relationships with others, despite the personal cost and despite what others might think, so that they can experience the life-changing power of Jesus that I've experienced. Being the neighbor that Jesus wants us to be will require coming alongside those who need help finding their way to him. I'm going to invite you to stand with us this morning, and I would like us to end with prayer today, in praying for one another today. And if you have to go, then that's okay. You can go if you need to go. But if you want to stay, and maybe today you want someone to pray with you for what may be happening in your life or your family. Maybe there's someone in your life that you carry an incredible burden of someone you're in relationship with, and you want more than anything for that person to come to Jesus. And you want to seek God today to strengthen you and encourage you and help you to stay on that journey and to pray for them that they would see their need to experience the life-changing power of Jesus. Because there really is power in that name. There is power in that name. If you want someone to pray with you this morning, I'll be here in the front. If you want to just come and pray somewhere to the sides on your own, if you want to just come and stand here, if you want to stay in your seat. But I just want us to take a few moments and say, God, if I really believe that the Spirit of God is in this place today, then maybe, just maybe, I want to focus on that for a few moments. Because that's what I really need in my life. Jonna, would you lead us?
Your will be done.
is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power.
Jesus, this morning we are grateful for your name, for the power of your name, for all that your name represents. And Lord, today as we are here in this place, some of us are in a place where we need something really important from you. And I pray that you would touch each and every life this morning. And Lord, our desire as those who have relationship with you is that we would become the neighbor that builds the relationship, that invests the time and the emotional energy, our strength, our resources into building the relationship and support for those who we have encountered that need help in finding you. So Lord, I pray today that you'd help us not to look away or disregard any who are in need of an encounter with you. And would you help us do whatever it takes, whatever is within our reach, to help people know that they are loved and cared for and valuable and seen and heard and important to the very God who created them and gave them life. And as we leave this place today, I pray that that would stay with us and that we would intentionally and deliberately set out to be a neighbor that God can use, bring hope to others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.